Nobody does it better than the Watts Podcast Network.
Just that simple.
Just that simple.
Thank you for listening. It Doesn't Work That Way podcast is sponsored by Frame of Reference. The series explores the vulnerable and often hectic lives of a close group knit of friends and provides a truthful evaluation of how fear and past misfortunes can define our present point of view. You can stream season one of Frame of Reference on the Roku channel, Tubi TV, or Prime Video.
Hello and welcome to It Doesn't Work That Way with me, Kalisha Zachary.
And me, Kashelle Zachary.
Hi, Kashelle. How you feeling today?
I'm feeling so good. I'm feeling very blessed.
Yes, and come on, blessings.
Yes.
You know, blessings.
I do.
We knew a man, he got blessings. Yes. His parents aptly named him. Mm-hmm. He was in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the Spirit Event Center.
He sure was.
And he was getting blessings on blessings.
He was.
I love that. You feeling blessed?
I'm feeling blessed.
You look good. You look hydrated.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
Come on, H2O. Glow.
Oh my gosh. Because
she got the glow. She got the flow. She got the glow. She got the glow. She go. Because she got the glow. Shout out to The Last Dragon. Man, if y'all have not seen, this is the 40th anniversary of The Last Dragon.
Can
it's
I tell
Barry
you?
Gordy's The Last Dragon. Go for
I
it.
I know that's right. Put the respect mm-hmm. on him. I don't know if Barry probably know this, but I don't know if Barry really, really know what The Last Dragon did for me.
Oh, no. He do.
Okay, he do. He do. He do. He do.
Thank you, Barry.
Yeah, thank you. The Last Dragon, like, inspired me in a way that even, like, today, 2025.
Oh, my God.
I can go back and listen to the lyrics of...
To reach that final level, the mind, body, and soul must be one. It's a sacrifice, and you got to work hard, but it's a way of life when you got that glow.
Okay. Dun, 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 and you got that glow.
And you knew because it was Motown that the soundtrack was gonna be fire.
Facts.
Okay. Because
when Smokey got on that,
child, that was a whole. I'm putting that on my wedding album.
I know you're right. Mm-hmm. No, Barry Gordy. Thank you so much for your vision. The Last Dragon spoke volumes to me because who is this Bruce Leroy?
I mean,
that catches bullets with his teeth,
just.
And Bruce was always the master.
Mm-hmm. He was looking for it everywhere else.
Everywhere else. And it was always on the inside.
And then his teacher was trying to, he didn't tell him, he made him seek it out.
Yes, it's always in the seek.
Oh my God.
It's always in the seek.
So good.
Anything that's worth having is never going to be just handed to you on a silver platter. It's going to always be in the seek. You're going to have to always seek it out if it's worthwhile. And life has taught me that the seek is more valuable than whatever is on the other side of it.
Facts.
Because the seek builds you up. It builds you up. It makes when you're seeking something and you're doing it with pure intentions, mm-hmm. it builds up your self-confidence. Mm-hmm. It mm-hmm. builds up your faith. Mm-hmm. It builds up your belief. Mm-hmm. And now I understand why he had the glow.
He had it, y'all.
He had the glow.
He had it when he finally realized, and then mm-hmm. he was spoilers. But if you haven't seen it, mm-hmm. but you know, he was fighting Shonuff, who was the antagonist, mm-hmm. and Bruce Leroy was the protagonist, and they was in this epic battle with Eddie Arcadian. Mm-hmm. And my kids gonna watch that.
They battle.
So, and that'd be pre-rescue for my husband. I'm going to say, have you seen The Last Dragon? When we dating, like, have you seen The Last
That's
Dragon?
That's date night.
Hello.
Okay.
And so Shonuff had his head and he was putting it in the water. Mm-hmm. He kept asking him, who's the master? Mm-hmm. And Shonuff was looking for him to bow and basically be like, you are. Mm-hmm. But it was like maybe the third dunk when he came up mm-hmm. and he had that glow. Shout out to Timac. Okay. He said, I. And then it changed because his confidence, like he knew.
Well, you
who
know
he
what?
Was.
And we'll end because I don't want because we could talk this 30 minutes.
I mean, we're filmmakers.
Exactly.
So it's solidified.
The moment that Bruce Leroy mm-hmm. said, I am.
Oh, my God.
It changed the trajectory of everything. So in real life, we should never be saying, am I?
Ooh.
It's got to always be. I am the best. I am the greatest.
Not in a. way that
you got to prove the best. You got to prove the greatest. Exactly. So you don't say it without proof. But, you know, Muhammad Ali, he knew he was the greatest.
Yeah.
And then he went behind the scenes when no one was looking and he proved it to us
in the gym.
All right.
Okay. So to that point, that leads to this week's episode.
Come on.
Kashelle.
Yes.
Hard work pays off regardless of your demographic, representation. All success is based solely on ability and effort. And this society that we live in mm-hmm. is just. It's right.
No.
Essentially, meritocracy mm-hmm. is alive and well.
Mm-mm. I know you want me to say something different, and it doesn't work that way.
I don't want you to say nothing different. I want you to say
okay. You know, I don't know. Somebody might want to hear that's the way it is, and it doesn't work that way.
I think I'm glad you brought out somebody.
Somebody wants to believe that there is somebody that is working their ass off to prove that it is real. In some instances, it may be. Some instances, it may be. I'm not going to be that type of person. I'm not going to throw a cloud over everybody's situation.
So you're saying you're not going to blanket it.
I'm not.
But I want to get into diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is basically the equivalent today of a cuss word. If you know, if you're in 2020, if this is a time capsule episode and you hear this in 2030,
all right,
just know DE&I was a cuss word in 2025. Okay. But the movement has begun to lose ground in some corners of society, depending on where you're at, depending on your comfortability. Mm-hmm. You know, some people get where they're comfortable and they're like, I don't care what's going on.
Facts.
It could be bombs in the street. Don't call me. I'm comfortable over here.
Right.
But, you know, words matter. And some.
Wait a minute. Slow down and say that again.
Words matter
so much. Keep going.
And some take this combination of good words, diversity, equity, and inclusion,
are really three good words. They're really good words,
period.
I'm like, how can you argue diversity?
I don't know.
How could you even get upset about equity?
I don't know.
Who would frown about inclusion?
I don't know.
All right.
But they have been twisted. So I believe in my heart, DE&I has been hijacked.
Okay.
Right? It's been hijacked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people, we can argue that all day, right? Mm-hmm. I also believe that now that we're in this space where they're like, we want to bring back meritocracy. So you have companies that during George Floyd, everybody put up the black square and, you know, we're going to donate $70 billion towards equity and inclusion. Me and Kashelle, I remember this. I said, oh, this is about to be the most performative shit we've ever seen in our life.
It was.
Speaking as a black woman who they, you know, they say it was all for us, but it wasn't. It wasn't.
Mm.
And so now they have this word meritocracy. And I see corporations, and I heard a corporate speech recently. And in the speech, the leader of the firm or the division was like, you know, we're rolling back some of the DE&I initiatives that were put forth. We're still committed to doing the right thing. And then it was kind of summed up with, I know there are some bad apples, but I don't believe that's the whole bunch. So it got me to thinking about being real, right? Mm-hmm. Pure meritocracy remains a myth more than a reality. The playing field, it has never been leveled. Period. I'm not asking you to go back and make up for it. It just has not been leveled. And whether you choose to acknowledge it or not, it is that fact. For many, me and Kashelle included, our success requires working, what would you say, Kashelle? 10 times harder, 20 times harder?
Man, I want to
just to receive a fraction, just to receive a fraction of the opportunities that are granted to others. And I stand on that. Mm-hmm. I stand on that. I stand on that.
I would agree.
So when people come in and they're like DE&I, they think black. Right? And I know that our brother on our network, J.M. Knighton, he talked about this on one of his episodes. Mm-hmm. Go take a listen, by far the dopest version, wherever you get your podcast.
All right.
Plug. But, you know, I'm not going to belabor that point, mm-hmm. but I just want to say that if we want to use the words meritocracy, we better be careful. We better be careful, okay? I mean, when you hear meritocracy, Kishelle, what do you think?
I don't. I just don't. So many things are thrown around. I just, you know, sometimes I just think people want to just hear themselves talk, and I don't think there's enough action, you know, and so enough proof. So, you know,
look, can we define meritocracy?
Let's do it.
Okay. So meritocracy is a system where advancement and rewards are based on demonstrated abilities and merit rather than factors like wealth, social class, I'll add this, race or privilege.
Okay.
Okay. So that's where we want to be. That's where they say they want the world, I could go on and on about this, but that's where they say they want the world to be.
Okay.
Okay. So that's it. We're not there. Thank you for listening. It Doesn't Work That Way podcast is sponsored by The Watts Announcer. The Watts Announcer is a media brand that covers the amazing emerging talents in the entertainment industry, including movies, TV, and more. The inaugural episode features the cast of Frame of Reference. Hosted by Amanda Gaddison, the exclusive interview will be available only on the Watts Prod YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe for notifications. Why do you think we're not there?
The world is a weird...
Let's talk about North America.
North America is a is a weird, beautiful, complicated... place. I think that's the world. So anytime we have people in it and we all have this gift called free will, it's going to cause some friction. You know what I'm saying? And it's, you know, no one, you know, thinks 100% alike. Everybody has their own views on just about everything. And then you got to bring all that together. And so we got to find out how many of us can get close enough on one particular thing and say, okay, we're gonna band together to make this world a better place. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it, just coming out of my mouth, that shit sound hard. So you know what I'm saying? It's just
Michael, when he was talking about heal the world, making a better place, he tried.
He had an idea. He put it out there in the atmosphere.
He put it in a song.
Yes, and he was like, okay, y'all, let's rally around this, and we'll do it for about a month or two, and then things just get back to, you know, we...
A month or two. 9/11, to me, in my lifetime, 9/11 was a moment where I felt like we were all... It didn't... Your race was not a point. On 9/11, it was all about America.
Okay. And then, you know, I would agree it was very united for that moment.
Outside of 9/11.
You know, people get comfortable again, and then we go back to comfortability, we go back to our own ideologies, we lean back into like, the world is so big, how much can one person really affect? You know, what can one person or two or three people really do? And it's a big undertaking. And so, and at the same time, you don't stop advocating for change.
Right. Well, I want to say you don't stop advocating for change. I want to say this. I was recently, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but this is a community. We a community here, y'all. It Doesn't Work That Way. But I was reprimanded by a friend for not voting. Facts. In the last election.
Facts.
And it really hurt this person that I did not execute my civil responsibility
mm-hmm.
and go out and vote.
Mm-hmm.
I was so torn
mm-hmm.
on this election. And now I look back and it is what it is. Everything is now in the history books as far as everything that happened before today. We know who our Donald Trump is, the president of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, Donald Trump has came in like a wrecking ball. Okay. And he is just, he's not taking any.
He's putting forth his vision. He's doing what he said he was going to do.
I literally can, even though I do not agree with how they're doing things.
Yeah.
But he's like one of the first politicians in my lifetime that didn't take back what he said he was going to do.
It is kind of, it's a case study for real.
It's a case study. Mm-hmm. Like he was like, a promise made is a promise kept. I'm so into this. I have never been a political person, but I find myself watching Abby Phillips at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Shout out to Abby Phillips, okay? I'm there. I'm listening to Scott Jennings. I'm looking at the roundtable, and I'm like, I've never been that deep into politics, but I realize how much it affects me, and I don't know if we had went in a different direction as a nation, would we be in a better spot than with Donald Trump?
Wow.
I'm going to be very serious because my own research has kind of shown me this.
Okay, let's talk about it.
But the reason why I wanted to talk about meritocracy today mm-hmm. is because the Trump administration literally used a chat, I think, an AI bot that said, find anything to say black, gay, Hispanic in a database, and they just started wiping stuff. Wiped out what Jackie Robinson did. I mean, it was just like, wait a minute, he was a war hero too. Like, what are we doing? But they did it all on the basis of, you know, trying to right shift what has become, I believe they believe, the takeover with DE&I. And to me, the reason why Donald Trump is in that position after I've done my research and I'm very much into the political space now. I'm not going to call myself a political pundit, but I'm very much invested.
You're engaged.
I'm engaged. I'm very much invested in my future, my children's future, me and my husband's future, what we're going to build together. I'm very interested in that now more than ever, right? And so when they started taking stuff away, I started looking into like, okay, what was happening here? And this is my opinion. The group in our society that I believe are the most out of touch with this topic is not Republicans, not the people who are in power right now. It's not even the people who sit in the middle. Mm-hmm. It is the liberal elites. I feel that they are a group of people who are educated. They have their money. They're comfortable. They have other privileges. And nobody's saying taking them away. You got them. It's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They have liberal political views and are seen as, in my opinion, is not understanding what our problems really are in our communities.
I disagree with you.
Okay, let's talk about it.
I don't think I see you segmenting like liberal elites. I think it's across the board.
I'm not saying it's all. I'm saying I believe they are a good chunk of why Donald Trump won the election. I believe their out of touchness is why people was like, y'all are taking this too far.
Okay. Okay.
And now because you took it so far,
we're going to dial
it back. That women, regardless if you believe in this or not, I'm saying it, this is my show. But where women, biological women, Kashelle, there was athletes competing in track and field, and they did a long jump.
Mm-hmm.
The biological woman, she did her jump. Mm-hmm. I forgot how far she got, and bless her heart. The trans woman who was born a man but has since transitioned, she did her jump. Kashelle.
I got it.
And I feel like it's because they focused on just one, or I don't even know what the percentage of the trans population is, but I feel like they focused on that and everything else began to drown out. They just kept just going on that one issue because they were in a place of comfortability. They were like, we eating, we ain't got to worry about certain things. And I feel like when you talk about meritocracy and you're not really in touch with what's happening, the reason why we're getting DEI rollbacks, everybody's to blame. I feel like if it had not been what it was, and you could, I want to hear your point why you disagree. It may not have been where now they're wiping the books of all these DEI programs and they're giving us this so-called meritocracy. And I do that in air quotes, and I'll get to that in just a second.
Yeah, I'm following you, and I just try to be careful because it's people that have that same ideology that are not liberal elites.
Okay, so, yeah, fair.
So I'm just saying.
That's fair.
That same ideology exists in the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the Libertarian, the Independents, you know, like. It goes across the board, but I do also hear you saying that it looked like that they kind of rallied like a cluster.
I would agree.
And was, you know,
they were a strong leader in that realm.
Okay.
And I'm not saying all of them. So, you know, write me if you want, but I'm not saying all of them. I'm saying it's a point. And so when we talk about, so now we're dealing with that. Right. We got that. Now we got to deal with no more DEI. Now it's all about meritocracy. And in our industry, you know, recently, Anthony Mackie, who is Captain America now.
Yes.
OK.
Have you seen it?
No.
OK.
And you know, I'm a Marvel
fan. OK, keep going.
But Brother Mackie has expressed frustration with the current state of Hollywood, which. Okay, join the club, because we've been talking about Hollywood for a long time.
Ma'am.
Suggesting that the industry is not truly fair and that the pursuit of success is often presented as a myth, with success being more about luck and hard work.
I personally, it's weird because I agree with him and I disagree with him at the same time.
What do you agree with?
I agree with him in the sense that it's a system and the system is being governed by select individuals. And I do believe that there is a game happening, and they're saying, okay, yeah, this person gets to go here and this person doesn't get to go further than here, and then this person gets to go here. So I do understand like what he's coming from in that perspective. And then I personally dislike the word luck.
I hate it.
I personally, you know, I'm trying to watch the words that I use, but I personally have a strong,
I dislike it.
Dislike for the word luck. I feel like it cheapens anybody's, you know, dedication, commitment, hard work. I feel like that word cheapens, like, I'm not lucky to be sitting here. I worked my way here.
So,
you know what I'm saying? So I feel him. And then, you know, and then on the opposite side, I do believe that if you are operating under like specific intentions, that what's yours is going to happen regardless of who's in control.
I've been in the business 24 years, right? And I've seen people go from nothing to the biggest stars in the world. I've seen people go from one role to winning Academy Awards and doing all this shit. And what I realized yesterday thinking about it, we're lying to our kids, dog. And I think that's a big problem in our community. We tell our kids that they can, and this is fresh on my heart, like I literally just came to this conclusion last night. We tell our kids if they do right, and they make the good grades, and they go to the programs, and they will become successful. If you work hard enough, your work will be paid off. And that's not true. Success is given. It's not earned. Because you can be the most brilliant. If one person don't tap you, each one of y'all. There were people who could hit harder, who could catch better, who could run faster. But somebody said, you. You're the one. And the other 50 behind you fell off. You know what I mean? And because of that, I don't know what that what that emotion or that feeling is the scary thing. Because I went to all the programs. I've done Broadway. I've done off-Broadway. I've been in the business 24 years. I've been in two Academy Award films. I've done independent films. I've done major motion pictures. Now I'm Captain America. So now what?
His through line. He said he believes the idea of achieving success through hard work and merit is a false narrative, suggesting that luck and connections play a significant role. So let's remove the word luck.
Mm-hmm.
Connections play a significant role.
Then I can completely agree with him. I've been in situations where I've seen someone be connected just because they knew someone that was close to a project or knew someone that had a level of influence. So the connectivity is a real thing, and which is why relationship building is so important. And I've also had the opportunity to see a connection and then integrity.
Oh, okay. So, I love that, Kashia. I love that you brought that up.
I've also seen moments where someone had...
They are married. They just happen to have connections.
Correct. They had a connection. Okay. And then I seen integrity come into place. And they're like, I'm not going to give this to you just because of the connection. If you really want it, you still got to prove yourself. Now, that's rare.
That's rare. So I feel like as creatives in any industry, but specifically when I'm talking about the film industry, which is, you know, oh my God, it's any industry, I'm sure is a fight, but this one is totally different. And I say that because I'm in it, mm-hmm. but we must not allow people to gaslight us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I want to give two quick examples before we wrap out.
Okay.
But I on the so-called meritocracy and how if this is why you can't let people gaslight you,
mm-hmm.
just do your research and
Facts.
keep grinding.
Okay.
But remember that meritocracy is defined as the holding of power by people selected based on their ability.
Hmm.
This is meritocracy. This is what they say, I believe, is an example of meritocracy. Mm-hmm. A Hollywood filmmaker has been charged with defrauding Netflix. How are you going to meet with Netflix, Michelle?
Okay. That's a whole nother episode.
Of $11 million. Director Carl Eric Reinsick, I think that's how you say it,
sure. Reinsick,
sold Netflix a sci-fi series instead of finishing it. Prosecutors allege his case is still pending, and I did read his 12-page indictment that was filed in March. Prosecutors allege he spent more of the streamer's money on his own investments, luxury rentals, cars, etc. Now, his claim to fame was he did 47 Ronin, which was not a commercial success or a creative success, but that's subjective.
Mm-hmm. Fact.
You know, mm-hmm. Commercial success, you can prove that through box office tickets,
mm-hmm.
right? Creatively, you may not like it, but somebody else may love it. So you can't, I don't like people to say what that is.
Mm-hmm.
But then he left there and started doing commercials. He had enough ability, I guess, to no longer have to do commercials. So they went and decided to give him $11 million to make this series.
That still hasn't been made.
Kashelle, this man is in he is literally getting ready to go to trial.
To the finance department at Netflix.
Girl, if you read the indictment, it will blow your mind.
To the finance department, whoever is
they
releasing
gave
the checks. You mean to tell me like, okay, we release you this and we got
they
nothing.
They gave him $40 million. It's $11 that he allegedly
misused.
Mm-hmm. Wow. He said he needed the additional money to finish finish production. But if you didn't stay within the budget, like I can't even
who
go
can
there.
Make this stuff up.
You can't go there. The next thing, the next meritocracy that mm-hmm. I want to just say this is the ability, right?
Mm-hmm.
Billy McFarlane, a American businessman. You know who Billy McFarlane? There's mm-hmm. a great documentary on Netflix called Firefest.
Wild.
But he served time in prison.
Okay.
For financial crimes related to Fyre Festival and defrauded his investors of $27.4 million.
$27.4 million. Keep going.
Kashelle, Vanity Fair describes him as the poster boy for millennial scamming. But this is ability, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need diversity and inclusion, right? We just need to go straight off of your ability.
He got the ability to defraud.
I guess they may want to switch that up a little bit, right? Okay. But he served his time. He is currently on probation, and somehow America has a problem.
America has a problem.
McFarland is hosting Fyre Festival 2.
How?
For only 2,000 tickets available for Fyre Festival 2, ranging between, get this, my best friend, $1,400 for one person to $1.1 million for a group of eight.
How, y'all?
And I'm going to say this before we wrap out.
How?
We may cancel, they said on their site, because I went and looked it up, we may cancel any event at any time at our sole discretion. No refunds will be given for event, date, time, location, and lineup changes or cancellations by artist. He basically telling you,
I'm about to take your money.
I could put anybody on there and I'm about to take your money. Here's the key. Never give up on God. Unwavering faith and trust in God no matter what you're doing. If you don't believe in God, just never give up. Even during difficult times, Cashel and I, we encourage perseverance and resilience, because our challenges is that you're telling us about meritocracy, but it was diversity, equity, and inclusion that made you have to put us in the room so we could tell you how able we are. Because if we didn't have that to tell you how able we are for this meritocracy, then you wouldn't even let us in the room. You would say you got to clean it.
Mm.
But I digress. It's not luck.
It's not.
If it's connected to your destiny.
I agree.
I want everybody to hear that.
Yes.
It does not matter what words our U.S. government puts on it, what words liberals put on it, liberal elites, Democrats, Republican, independents, whoever. It doesn't matter if they say that you, it's based on meritocracy, if they say it's because you're capable, if it's DE&I, do not allow anyone or anything stop you from fulfilling your God-given purpose on this earth.
I love it.
I have to say that. And that was a lot.
That was, but it was needed.
Meritocracy. It's like, give me a break. Let's hope we get to that world.
Mm-hmm.
It's not here today, because I know we don't even know what the effects of what's getting ready to happen based off of everything that's taking place today and the rollbacks and DE&I. But if you are a minority, don't you go in strategically and get in the room as best as you can to prove your capability. And when you get the opportunity, don't drop it.
Mm-hmm.
Be ready.
Yeah.
Because then you don't want them to say you are a DE&I hire. Because now that's like a slang word. You are capable. If you are worthy of being there. You have the ability to be there.
That's good.
And it's important to do that. So I know I went off on a little bit of a tangent, friend.
You know what? That's what the podcast is for.
Yes.
It's for you to get this mic.
Yes.
Express your feelings and help those that's listening on the other end.
Because that's passion, y'all hear.
Yes.
Amen. So I want to thank you guys for listening to It Doesn't Work That Way, season 2, baby.
I love it.
Thank you for being a part of our community. We really do appreciate that. And we would be extremely grateful if you could give us a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 star rating and share your thoughts on Apple Podcasts. No, for real, that helps us connect with a wider audience. And we would love for you to rate, review, you know, subscribe, follow, heart, whatever it is on the platform that you listen to. We really do appreciate it. Thank y'all for being here. Thank you, Cashel.
You're welcome. Thank you for allowing me to be on this show with you. I love breaking this stuff down and you know, just sharing our thoughts. And thank you for listening.
Yeah. Also, wait. If you want to connect with me or Cashel.
Yes.
go to in our anybody in our podcast network.
Yes.
Visit our website, watchproductions.com/podcast, and be sure to share this episode with your friends who might find it interesting. See you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. All right.